on the biographies of great Rabbanim. We were going to be learning about the Chidushi Harim, Rav Yitzchok Meir Alter of Ger, the Ger Rebbe, who was born in 1799 and died in 1866. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to the Shir. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. Please visit us online at EnglishTorahTapes.com, where you can listen and download thousands of Torah Shiurim. Ger Chasidus was the backbone of Polish Jewry before the Holocaust. Tens of thousands of Hasidim walked in the light of the Rebbes of Ger. The founder of the dynasty, Rabbi Yitzchok Meir Alter, known as in the Hasidic world by the name of his works, Kedushe Harim, which stands for Harav Yitzchok Meir, stamped his approach to Hasidus and life in general on the generations that followed him up to and including our own day. Rav Yitzchok Meir Alter was a unique individual. Seldom does such a soul descend to this world. The title of Rebbe, which he assumed 7 years before his passing, was not the prime source of his renown. His status among Polish Jewry was due primarily to his phenomenal Torah knowledge and learning. He was one of the Torah giants of his generation. In terms of the development of Hasidus, Rav Yitzchok Meir Alter was the successor of Rav Mendel of Kutsk, but in reality he shaped Hasidism in Poland in his own original fashion. His behavior was moderate and saturated with pity and compassion. His heart was open to receive any person, and he treated the masses of his Hasidim with kindness and compassion. Chaya Sora, Rabbi Yitzchok Meir's mother, was of illustrious Yichus, a descendant of Rabbi Nosson Shapiro of Krakow, who was raised after her parents both died in her childhood by her relative, the Maggid of Kuznets, Rabbi Yisrael. When she reached marriageable age and various Shadchan matchmakers spoke highly of her, Chaya Sora refused all of their offers. She trusted that Hashem would bring for her someone who would be a great Torah scholar and a lofty soul with whom she would establish a home. At the time, Rabbi Israel Rothenberg, the remarkable Rav of Maganishov, a small town near Kuznets, lost his wife. He was close to the Maggid of Kuznets and had earlier studied with Rabbi Levi Yitzchok Bar Ditchev. This Rav was a pure soul and the descendant of Maram of Rothenberg, one of the greatest Rishonim. On the advice of the Maggid, who extolled the spiritual qualities of Israel, the two were married in the home of the Maggid himself. He himself took care of all the details of the wedding as if he was marrying off one of his own children. He also made a remarkable statement as the couple stood on the chuppah, telling them they would be the parents of a son who would bring light to all of Israel with his Torah and the service to Hashem. A year later, in 1799, Yitzchok Meir was born to them. From the day that Yitzchok Meir was born, he was the delight of the Maggid of Kuznets, who loved him dearly and predicted great things for him. When the child first began to speak, all saw that the prediction of the Maggid was coming true. There was a great soul in the young boy who excelled in holiness and whose eternal fineness was reflected in his countenance, while his eyes sparkled with mischief, as is often the case with an Elohim genius. When he was only 3 years old, one of those visiting the Maggid tried to test the boy's mettle. He told Yitzchok Meir, "I'll give you a gold coin if you can tell me where Hashem is." Immediately, the young child, barely out of infancy, said, "And I'll give you 2 coins if you can tell me where he's not." The Maggid looked upon the remarkable child as a source of pride. Whenever one of the Tzaddikim of Poland came to visit, he would have him meet Yitzchok Meir. Thus the youngster saw the Yehudi HaKodesh of the Sich Shoshem of Yaakov Yitzchok before he was 6 years old. The Yehudi HaKodesh then begged the Maggid to allow the child to come to him at some time so that he could speak to him in learning. The Maggid consented and in the course of time sent the child. the Ilu of Magnishov was the title by which he became known. Even as a young child, he was known for his great Torah learning. He studied with a child of his own age, Rav Meir Yechiel, grandson of the Magid, who was later known as the Seraph of Moglinitze. He would discuss halacha regularly with the Magid, dwelling on the difficult sugyas and shas. The Magid was amazed at his depth of understanding. He would say that Yitzchok Meir had pursued and arrived at the truth. It is told that the Magid commanded him concerning three matters. Number one, to pray alone. Number two, not to allow a day to pass in which he did not propound a new Torah thought. And number three, to answer the questions asked by the Ramban on the Baal Hamor in his Milchemes Hashem. Towards the end of his life, the Chiddush Rim stated, "I was able to keep the first two conditions easily, but the third took a lot of effort on my part." His daily prayers lasted for great lengths of time, and his mind was constantly producing chedushim. It is said of his prayers that when he pronounced the korbanos, the section of the sacrifices offered in the Beis HaMikdash, his entire body trembled as if he was offering himself as a sacrifice. In Warsaw, capital of Poland, there lived a famous wealthy Jew named Rav Moshe Lifshitz Chalfan. When Amosha had reached marriageable age, the Shatchanim had come beating on his parents' door with attractive proposals of marriage, but he had stubbornly rejected them all. It is told that Amosha's father had asked him, "What do you intend to do?" And he had answered, "Father, you know the hunchback girl next door? Who will take pity on her if not I? I will marry her." The exhortations of his father and the other members of the family did not prevail. He was insistent and married the girl. Hasidic tradition relates that in reward for marrying her l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven, he was found worthy of having two sons-in-laws who were lights to Israel. The first was the Chedushim Harim, and later his second daughter became the Kuznets' second wife. When Amoshe Chalfin sought a suitable son-in-law for his oldest daughter, Fagel, he took counsel with the Chos of Lublin, who advised him, "Travel immediately to Kuznets. There you will find your son-in-law in the home of the Holy Magid. He is a great light." When he came to Kuznets, the Magid immediately agreed to the match. The wedding was set for 3 years from then, when the young Ilu would be 13 years old. The wedding took place in Warsaw. When the chassan, the groom, parted from the Holy Magid, they spoke privately for a time, and the Magid accompanied the Chiddush Urim for a considerable distance. Afterwards, the Magid told his chassidim, "Do not be surprised that I show him such respect. That young lad has never made a single move without intending therewith to please Hashem. Mark my words, if nothing adverse happens to him, he'll be able to turn the hearts of Israel to Hashem, and he will give light to the entire world with his Torah, for he studies it for its own sake." The Chiddush Rim was 14 years old when the star began to shine in the skies of Warsaw, a city already bursting with Torah scholars. The brilliance with which Rav Moshe Chalfin's son-in-law had been blessed was soon recognized, but people were even more amazed by the purity of his mind and soul. Like many of Warsaw's Torah scholars, the Chiddush Rim at first came to yeshiva of Rav Arya Leib Zins, who was known as Rav Leibish Charif, in order to hear Torah discourses from him. Here he became friends with those who were to become the luminaries of the next generation in Poland, such as Rav Yaakov Gesundheit, Rav Avramomil of Czechlovov, and others. However, shortly afterwards, the Chiddush Rim stopped attending the Shiurim of Rav Leibish and decided to study alone. He found no pleasure in the pilpul type of exposition used by Rav Leibish in his Shiurim, which the Chiddush Rim felt could at times divert a person from the path of truth. When he began to learn on his own, he speedily extended in Torah knowledge and Yiras Shamayim. He spent days and nights learning. Not a single moment was wasted. Hasidim relate that a Chiddush Rim would learn at night time by the light of a lamp. His friends noticed the glass shell of the lamp was always missing in the morning. This aroused their curiosity and they inquired into the matter. Finally, they found that Chiddush Harim had written the words, "I have placed Hashem before me always on the glass as a constant reminder to himself. In his modesty, he had hidden it every day." Rav Yitzchak Feigenbaum, the Av based in the Warsaw, told of how he and many others had witnessed the Chiddush Harim learning as he trembled and wept exceedingly, and all present were deeply moved by this sight. Already then, there were many Torah scholars who came to visit him. He would eagerly talk Torah with them. Many of his interpretations were committed to writing. His chedushim, both those that he gave orally and those that he wrote down, were remarkable in their uniqueness and brilliance. In Noda Bishorim of Rav Dov Berish Ashkenazi, the Av Basin of Shlonim, there is a tshuva by Durim permitting an aguna to remarry. The tshuva is dated the 7th of Shvat, 1848. The Noda Bishorim student of David Berish Rappaport, Av based in Narova in Galicia, relates, "I was once learning with our teacher, the author of the Noda Bishorim, when they brought him the above mentioned tshuva of the Chiddush Harim, and I saw that as he read the tshuva, he showed signs of amazement which were very unusual for him. I gathered up my courage and asked him, 'What is the reason for your amazement?' He answered me, 'How should I not be amazed at his brilliance and genius, as well as his righteousness and purity of his heart? Look here yourself, when we are able to come up with a chiddush using pilpul and logic, we generally use the expression, and according to this, we can resolve the words of Tosfos that ask, with the chiddush harim, though, after having examined the entire matter with his outstanding brilliance, he finally comes to the conclusion that all that he has written is incorrect because of the question of Tosfos, and he concludes, 'How should I say so? For if my logic had been the true meaning of Torah, Tosfos would not have asked the question that they ask.'" After his death, the Chiddush Harim's Talmudic Navalei were collected in his brilliant Chiddush Harim and Shas and Shulchan Aruch, considered among the greatest works to appear in the 19th century. His grandson, the Pilzer Rebbe, Rav Pinchas Menachem Yosman, writes, "These Torah Chiddushim were written when he was about 17 years old, when he was still a young man. Hashem's spirit rested upon him, and he followed the path of Chiddush to enlighten those who study Torah. With the passage of time, he formulated innumerable other Chiddushim and wrote prolifically. For example, an entire work was devoted to the topic of releasing Agunos. He did not have all of his works published, for reasons we do not know. Once one of his grandchildren saw him throwing an entire work into the flames. The grandson was astounded and asked him why he was doing this. After having spent so much time writing it, the Chiddush Harim explained, 'Know, my grandson, that essentially learning and interpretation of Torah are for the sake of heaven, to please Hashem. And therefore, when I go over a certain Chiddush, and I feel that it does not fully meet the standard, it's better to destroy it.'" His grandson, the Pilzer Rebbe, who printed his Chiddush Harim and his Pilpulim on Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat in the year 1882, writes in his introduction, "In these holy writings, one will find much of what he wrote in his youth, but we are not sure whether he went over them with his clear eye in his old age in order to sift them, for it is known by all of his followers that each day his work became more intense, and upon his shoulders he bore the yoke of our Jewish brothers' suffering, as he helped both materially and with his holy prayers for all who came to take shelter with him. However, we did not want to make the decision ourselves and put our hand to the author's manuscript, which is written in purity." Later, the Pilzer Rebbe goes on to explain what he means by this comment. He notes that since the Rim's words are very precious to those who follow him, people might wish to accept the words as binding in terms of actual halacha, whereas the work was only written in theoretical terms. It is for this reason that the clarification at the beginning of the volume is so vital, so that the reader will study the work with an open eye in order to differentiate between that which is given as halacha and that which was only written for the sake of discussion. In this period of his life, the Chiddush Rim was a chassid. While he was interested in all the varied streams of chassidus, the major influence on him was the Maggid of Kuznets. In Warsaw too, he studied the Beis Medrash of the Kuznets of Chassidim and would travel with them to the Rebbe. The Maggid always greeted him with outstretched arms, that which the Chiddush Rim gained from the Maggid over the years is surely beyond measure. In 1815, the Maggid died. At that time too, the Chos of Lublin left this world. This was a time of the changing of the guard in the world of Polish Hasidus, and there was a fierce battle among the Hasidim in Warsaw over the soul of the Chiddush Harim. Each group wanted to draw the young genius to it, for all of Poland spoke of him as one of the greatest Gedolim of the next generation. The Hasidim of Psychsha were especially interested in bringing him to their Rebbe, with Simcha Bunim, who had succeeded the Yehudi HaKodesh of Psychsha, for the latter had been clearly convinced of the great light shining forth from the Rim's Chiddush Rim's soul. At first, the Chiddush Rim maintained his allegiance to the son of the Maggid, Reb Moshe Elyokim, whom he regarded very highly, but on one Shabbos, Chiddush Rim spent at Kuznets, an extraordinary event occurred that brought about a change of direction in his life. It was at Shalosh Shudas, the Rebbe Reb Moshe was giving a wondrous Torah discourse, and in it he introduced various gematrias, numerical values. One of his gematrias was off by a total of 90, and he asked, "Can any chassid make this gematria work out?" The Chiddush Rim, who stood behind the Rebbe's chair, as was his custom, said, "If there's only a discrepancy of 90 in Hebrew, the letter Tzadik, the Rebbe himself is a Tzadik, and that will make up the discrepancy." When the Rebbe heard this, he smiled, arose from his chair, and kissed the Chiddush Rim on his forehead in front of all the Hasidim. The Chiddush Rim's face turned red from embarrassment, and he thought to himself, "What I need is a Rebbe who will tear at my insides and not one who will kiss me. What business do I have here?" He resolved to leave Kuznets and try to find what he was seeking in Optum from a mayor of Stavnitz, author of Or Lashemayim. After one trip there, he left Optum and went on to Besichshah. By the way, we are reading from Great Hasidic Leaders by Rabbi Aaron Sarovsky. The school, whose bold approach made waves in Polish Jewry and placed it apart from other types of Hasidus until that time, captured the Chiddush Rim's heart. Often at tremendous sacrifice, the Chiddush Rim would travel to Besichshah in order to spend Shabbos within the realm of its fiery Rebbe. As the Chiddush Rim himself stated, the Shabbosos and Yom Tovim that he spent in Besichshah left an indelible impression on him for the rest of his life. The Rebbe Rabbunim respected him highly. The Chiddush Rim was one of the very select few who participated in Shiurim Gemara with the Rebbe, in which the Rebbe revealed but a fraction of his genius. The Chiddush Rim felt very close to the Besichshah Hasidim as a whole. In particular, there was a warm bond between the Chiddush Rim and the most important of the Hasidim, Reb Mendel of Tomashov, who later became known as the Kutzke. Here too he became friendly with Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, Rav Yaakov Aryeh of Radzimin, and Rav Chanoch Henoch HaKohen of Alexandria, who was the Rav of Pruznets at the time. He felt that after his long search, he had finally found the most suitable place for himself. When he returned from his first trips to Besichshah, the best young men of Warsaw would gather about him, and he would deliver the shiurim to them in a special room set aside in his father-in-law's home. In addition to his shiurim, the Chiddush Rim inspired his disciples to study Torah Lishma for its own sake, and would stress that this is not a task reserved only for the great. As evidence, he would quote Perek Kinyan Torah, which is the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos, that if a person studies Lishma, it helps him become a tzaddik, a chassid, upright and trustworthy. He This indicates that even if a person is not yet a tzaddik or a chassid, nor upright and trustworthy, he is still capable of studying Torah lishma. He likened learning to eating. Why do we say a bracha before and after the reading of the Torah? They are like the blessings and food which are recited both before and after eating. A person is hungry, recites a bracha to thank Hashem for supplying him with food. And when he is satisfied after eating, he recites a bracha to thank Hashem for having satisfied him. So too, before studying Torah, one feels a hunger for the words of Torah and recites a blessing to Hashem for supplying us with Torah to satisfy this hunger. After learning, one must thank Hashem for the enormous satisfaction one feels after having absorbed the Torah's holy words. However, in true learning, the hunger is never completely satisfied. For do not Chazal say, one who has a mana, weight of gold, wants two? A person does not want two is clear evidence that he does not even possess a true mana. With the blessing and the Torah, we praise Hashem, who is the giver of the Torah. No doubt, when Hashem gives a gift, he is generous in his giving. Thus, he also gives us the means to attain knowledge of Torah and the intelligence to study and to understand it. In the blessing we say, who teaches Torah to his people Israel? These are not just empty words. When a father buys a chumash for his young son, it's not enough for him to buy the chumash. He must also see to it that his son has a Rebbe, a teacher. Hashem gives us the Torah, and it is he himself who teaches the Torah to his people Israel. The Chiddush Rim demanded that his students study Torah in great depth. To this end, he would say, it is stated, open my eyes and I will see the wonders of your Torah. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Tehillim. The word Ve'abita means to look into something in depth. In order to understand the profundity within it, he would repeat over and over again the saying of Simcha Buna Mesichsha, that one must labor even over every Havamin, even preliminary opinion in the Gemara, because this entire world exists only as a Havamin. After all, the Maskana, the final view, is certainly not in this physical world. He would explain that the statement of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when one teaches a child what is this like, ink written on new paper, refers not only to a child. Each of us must always regard himself as being born anew, and he should always study Torah with a new desire and resolve. The Chiddush Rim would direct the best of his students to Pesichusha. He had no doubts that for them, Pesichusha was the path by which they could reach Hashem. It was there that they would perfect themselves. His actions aroused strong criticism among many of the Warsaw Jews who were still opposed to Hasidus. However, the Chiddush Rim's reputation as one of the great Torah scholars of the day was enough to still their complaints. One of those whom he influenced was Rabbi Elazar HaKohen of Plotzk, son-in-law of Rabbi Yaakov Lisa, author of the Chavos Das. Rabbi Elazar became a fervent chassid of Pesichusha. His father, Reb Wolf, was totally in opposition to his new path. The father came with his complaints to Yaakov of Lisa and asked him to persuade his son not to travel to Pesichusha, not to pray at the Pesichusha Shul in Warsaw, and to stop being friendly with the Chiddush Rim. Reb Yaakov replied, I would agree to everything you ask except for the last. Not only should he continue his friendship with the Chiddush Rim, but he should cultivate it even more. Any friendship with the Chiddush Rim can only be for the good. The Chavos Das was not the only one who appreciated the Chiddush Rim. Almost all the famous Gedolim of the generation recognized his greatness in Torah. Once in his younger days, when the Chiddush Rim went to meet the Gedolim of Brody and Lvov, he visited the age-gone Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, author of the Beis Ephraim, and discussed Torah with him. There the Chiddush Rim mentions that he told Rabbi Ephraim Zalman his interpretation of a certain Rashba, which was at odds with the Notary Yehuda's interpretation. Rav Ephraim Zalman had agreed with the Chiddush HaRim. He also was friendly with Rav Yaakov Ornstein, author of Yeshua's Yaakov, and formed a close bond with Rav Chaim of Sanz, author of Divrei Chaim. All of these luminaries proclaimed publicly how great a Gaon he was. Soon letters began streaming to him from all over Poland and Galicia with questions on all aspects of Halacha. Eventually he received letters from as far away as Yerushalayim. Other echoes of his greatness can be found in print. For example, Rav Yitzchok Shnolkes in the Shilas Tshuvas Beis Yitzchok states, I heard in the name of the Gaon Rav Yitzchok Meir Warsaw in his Divrei Shol in the Torah, Rav Yosef Shol Nathanson of Lvov, author of Shol Umeshiv, quotes the Chiddush HaRim's thoughts on the teaching, that which is hateful to you do not do to others, as Gemara in Shabbos brings down. The innovations of the Besicha Shel Chassidim were opposed by many within the Hasidic world itself. The leaders of the opposition to Besicha Shel were famous Hasidic rabbis who felt that Besicha Shel was endangering the traditions of the Hasidic world. It was at that time that plans were being made in the Hasidic world for the wedding of the grandson of Rabbi Yitzchok of Radvil, the son of Rabbi Mikhail, the Magad of Zlotchev, to the daughter of the Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef of Orbishov, son of the Saba Kadisha, Rabbi Mordechai of Neshitz. The wedding was to be held in the town of Ostila, near the border of three countries, Russia, Poland, and Austria. The wedding was to be attended by almost all the Rebbes of the time, chief among them the elderly Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Heschel of Aptim, the author of Ohev Yisrael and a disciple of Rabbi Melech of Lizinsk. Those who were opposed to Sikh Shashem decided to exploit this great gathering to prove the dangers involved in the new view and to demand that it be abandoned. Rav Simcha Bunim did not travel to wedding but sent in place five of his best Talmidim, each of them excelling in a specific area. The Chiddush HaRim of Warsaw was a Torah scholar, a Feivel of Gritsa, a Chassid, Rav Zusha of Shedlitz, wise Rav Socha Horowitz of Warsaw, wealthy, and Rav Elezer Ber of Grebowitz, a gifted speaker who could answer the charges against Besicha Shem. The wedding was very impressive. Tens of the greatest Rebbes of the generation sat around the table, with the Apter at the head. In the middle of a festive meal, the author of Oyer Yisrael, known as the Apter, asked a very difficult question, and no one present was able to answer it except for the Chiddush HaRim. The Chiddush HaRim was brought before the Apter, who scrutinized him and finally said, "You have given me life with your two words." The Apter then asked him where he had acquired such great Torah knowledge, and the Chiddush HaRim answered, "In Besicha Shel." When those opposed to Besicha Shel later attempted to tell the Apter about the opposition to this Chassidus, which instituted new customs that were unknown previously, and that, so they claimed, led to the lessening of Torah study, the Apter looked towards the Chiddush HaRim and asked, "Is there anyone else like you among the Besicha Shel Chassidim?" The Chiddush HaRim answered with great emotion, "There are many among them that exceed me in Torah and Yerushalayim, and they too are as nothing in comparison to our master of Simcha Bunim." The Apter kept showing him great affection. This was especially noticed when after the meal the Apter took him and together they entered a joyful wedding dance, as the Apter pointed to him and exclaimed, "This young man is entirely like Shabbos, wholesome and totally involved in the spiritual." At that wedding the Chiddush HaRim also formed strong bonds with many of the other great Hasidic Rebbes. He explained to them the way of Besicha Shel and stressed that those who were opposed were either originating tales or accepting them as fact. Thus the very appearance of the Rim at this assembly was a conclusive answer to all the complaints of the opponents of Besicha Shel. After the event he sent a letter to his Rebbe Besicha Shel, in which he mentioned incidentally the great respect shown to him in Ostila. This letter moved Rav Simcha Bunim greatly. He hastened to read it to his Hasidim and added, I did not know how distant the Chiddush Yerim is from conceit, that he writes of the respect shown him at this illustrious wedding as if this was a just and minor matter. That indeed was the level of Yosef Tzaddik, who told his brothers, as we find in Chumash Bereishis, "You should tell my father of all my honor in Mitzrayim," because whatever honor he was given, he gave back to his father in heaven. The years he spent linked to Pesichusha left their mark on him. The Chiddush Yerim had arrived in Pesichusha as a young man who sought a path for himself in serving Hashem, and his heart was open to receive the best of this Chassidus. Now he was a full-fledged Chassid who was familiar with all aspects of Chassidus and was one of its leaders. Towards the end of Simcha Bunim's life, when he had become blind, he chose the Chiddush Yerim to learn Gemara with him. At that time, the Simcha Bunim's home became the Chiddush Yerim's permanent dwelling. His family residence in Warsaw was a comparison but a temporary place of lodging. But Simcha Bunim severed virtually all of his ties to the outside world and was considered by his disciples to be like an angel of Hashem, one who was beyond any physical needs or desires. The Chiddush Yerim's admiration of him also grew tremendously. He would say, "Until Pesichusha, Chassidus was a commentary on the Baal Shem Tov. After Pesichusha, Chassidus is a commentary on Pesichusha." On the 12th of Elul in 5587 or 1827, Rav Simcha Bunim passed away. The orphan congregation had nowhere to turn for advice as to who should continue the tradition. The decision was left to the greatest members of the community, Rav Mendel of Tomishov and the Chiddush Yerim. The two spent a long time sequestered in a thick forest near the village of Samut, not far from Pesichusha. After they returned to the village, they locked themselves in the room for a full day. Finally, they heard Rav Mendel saying to the Chiddush Yerim, "The decision has finally come down from heaven that it is between the two of us, either you to me or I to you." The Chiddush's answer was an immediate one, "I to you." The Chiddush Yerim accepted the authority of Rav Mendel, who, as mentioned later, became known as the Kutzkim. And towards the end of his life, he would remark, "I saw in the Kutzke a fierce flame, which was entirely true, and I accepted his authority for 32 years. Chassidus of Kutzk began in Tomishov, where the new Rebbe lived. The Rebbe was incisive and sharp, with surgeon-like skill. He strived to cut away from the hearts of his Chassidim any desire or thought which was not completely holy to Hashem. His greatest chassid was the Chiddush Yerim, the genius from Warsaw. When the Chiddush Yerim discovered that his friend Reb Henoch of Prushnitz, who would later become the Alexander Rebbe, had not yet decided whether to pledge his allegiance to the new Rebbe in Tomishov, he wrote to him, "Just as the Torah was given at Sinai in the midst of thunder and lightning, so we receive it in Tomishov each day with thunder and lightning." To another great Torah scholar who inquired about his ties to the Rebbe, who had meanwhile moved to Kutsk, the Chiddush Yerim replied, "It is written, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." The pasuk is found in Mishlei. In the heart of a man refers to Reb Mendel, while a man of understanding will draw it out refers to me, who draws from his well by the bucketful. The Chiddush Yerim was totally subservient to the Kutzke. It is related that the Chiddush Yerim once brought the Kutzke a sheaf of his writings, which included a remarkable work on the Choshen Mishpat section of Shulchan Aruch. The Kutzke studied the writings and was very impressed by the contents, and he said to Chiddush Yerim, "The pamphlet on the Choshen Mishpat that you gave me is exceptional, but I'm afraid that if you publish it, students will stop poring over Shas in the Poskim and will decide the halacha in accordance with your work. I feel that it is not proper that a late work should shunt aside, for example, the words of the Shach, who studied the Torah for its own sake with great effort and diligence. My opinion, therefore, is that you should destroy this work. This was a tremendous demand to make of the Chiddush Yerim, who had devoted all of his efforts over a long period of time in writing this work. However, as he had great spiritual strength and was totally devoted to his Rebbe, he hurried to his lodgings and had his servant bring kerosene and tinder. Moments later, the flames were consuming the entire manuscript. The Chiddush Yerim looked on his face aglow and murmured, "It's a mitzvah to listen to the words of the wise." When the Kotzke found out about this, he was overwhelmed by the deed and exclaimed in an emotion-laden voice, "One must be amazed at this great man and at his greatness of spirit. It was noble of him to subordinate his desire to mine and to burn such a work of true Torah which followed a true path and was created for its own sake without any self-interest in mind. The light of his Torah will begin to shine from this point on and will illuminate the entire world. His Chiddushim will yet be disseminated among all." When the Kotzke's wife died at a young age, the Chiddush Yerim suggested that Reb Mendel marry his wife's sister. The two were united, and the Chiddush Yerim, his devoted chassid, became his brother-in-law. Hundreds of chassidim, including scores of famous rabbis and learned scholars, were drawn to the fire of Kotzke. For a very long period of time, the Kotzke shut himself in his room and seldom left it, having very little contact with his chassidim. A chassid who wished to get a glance at the Rebbe might have to wait weeks or even months. But nevertheless, the number of chassidim who came did not decrease. The chassidim would be in the Beis Medrash with a door at its western end. Behind it sat the Rebbe in seclusion. At rare moments, the door was thrown open. The seraph, fiery angel as they called the Kotzke, would appear on the threshold, coatless, his talus cotton blowing in the gentle breeze. His eyes burned like two fiery brands, and his voice hammered like a sledgehammer on the hearts of those present as he shouted, "Do you know what I demand of you? Even if the heavens collapse and the earth disintegrates, you will not be moved from yours." The most important chassidim were allowed to approach the Kotzke at all times. The Chiddush Yerim was understandably one of them. The Kotzke treated him with great respect and praised him highly, referring to him publicly as the master of the Torah of the generation. In the winter of 1859, when the Kotzke was 72 years old, he became mortally ill. The Chiddush Yerim was summoned from Warsaw because the Kotzke refused to consult with doctors. Only after Chiddush Yerim had ruled that it was permitted did the Kotzke consent to have a doctor brought in. The Chiddush Yerim was at the bedside of his dying Rebbe and brother-in-law in his last moments, and he listened carefully for the Kotzke's final words. They were quite clear. "Whoever applies himself to the Torah, I will stand bounded to him in this world and in the next." Thus, when the Chiddush Yerim was chosen as his successor and began to lead his flock, he placed a major emphasis on study of Torah, and he would say, "The Rebbe Rabunim led his community with love. The Rebbe of Kotzke led his with fear, and I'm leading mine with Torah." In the carriage which traveled from Kutsk to Warsaw after the funeral of the Kotzke sat the leaders of the Hasidim, Rav Avraham of Porisov, Rav Shmuel of Shinovim, Rav Boruch of Stutzkin, and the Chiddush Yerim. The others hinted to the Chiddush Yerim that the Hasidim had decided to have him as their leader and Rebbe. He winced inwardly. How was he to lead the Kotzke Hasidim immediately after the death of their Rebbe, who had been like an angel of Hashem? He remembered full well what he himself had said a few years earlier at his mother's grave, "I ask you for forgiveness, mother. Though I sin, the world thinks that I'm a rev and a gon, and now that you come to the world of truth, you will find out that I'm but a simple Jew and no more, and forgive me, mother, if that causes you distress." But they, the leaders of the Hasidim, refused to let him be. The second Shabbos after the death of the Kotzke was Parshas Terumah, and many Hasidim from the entire area hastened to Warsaw. There were even many Misnagdim from Warsaw who, recognizing the greatness of the Chiddush Yerim, were moved to become his followers. The Chiddush Yerim saw no way to continue to avoid the burden. He said, Chazal tell us that each day David HaMelech thought of going to his house, or that so that he could study in private, but his legs inevitably led him to the Beis Medrash. David HaMelech, King David, wanted to withdraw to the four Amas of pure truth, but he had not been created for this. He had been created for the community, and his legs led him to the Beis Medrash without his knowledge. On Friday night, the Chiddush Yerim conducted his first Tish in the presence of thousands. A sense of holiness enveloped the huge crowd as soon as the new Rebbe spoke. The Chiddush Yerim's first Tish. The sainted Katzke Rebbe said, "You shall take for me a truma. You shall make me Murim elevated, apart from the vanities of this world. Chassidim need a leader, and we ask from Hashem, as did Moshe. Let Hashem, God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who shall go out before them, who will lead them in the ways of their fathers, and who will come before them, who will be willing to be the atonement for the most insignificant one in Israel, and who will lead them out from the hands of the other forces suffering, and who will bring them in underneath the wings of the Shekhinah, that the congregation of Hashem should not be as sheep without a shepherd, that the Jews should not be cast aside, so that any non-entary will be able to become their shepherd and leader. I am not a Rebbe, I do not need honor, and I don't want money. Those who wish to be helped only as far as livelihood, marriages, and other material concerns would be better off seeking another Rebbe. We were meant to turn to the hearts of Israel, to their Father in heaven. Therefore be on guard and take care not to become ruined. If you go along the old path, I shall be able to reward you with good favor, but I cannot be a Rebbe of worthless individuals." Only King David had that talent, for of him it states, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them." This is a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. I do not want this. The Katzke had overcome his innate pity, and it was as if he had told those who had come knocking at his door, "Go away, leave me be, you miserable ones of little faith and little comprehension. It is forbidden to pity you." But his great disciple, the Chiddush Yerim, felt compassion for that world of errant wanderers whom it is forbidden to pity, and pleaded, "Children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, follow the proper path. Do not ruin matters or fail, and I will do whatever I can for you in this world and in the next world. If you are willing to pay heed, you shall eat the good of the land." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. "If you listen and do good, then Hashem will be good to you as well. But if you refuse and rebel, if you are stubborn and refuse to listen, you will be consumed by the sword. All your vital spirit will be consumed. And it is not I who am telling you this, but the mouth of Hashem has spoken. Hashem has put these words into my mouth." The Hasidim listened to him open mouthed. The words sank in, and they realized that a new era in the history of Hasidim had begun. For a time there was silence, then Reb Shmuel of Sinova began to sing Azamer Bishvachon, and everyone joined in with great fervor. The number of the Chiddush Yerim's Hasidim increased from day to day. Though he continued to preserve much of the uniqueness of Kutsk, he adopted his own way, which was different from that of Kutsk. The din, strict justice, Vesichusha, and Kutsk had given away to Rachamim, compassion. For hours he would sit at the Tish delivering his talks, which bore his own imprint. Through them, the same Chiddush Yerim, who in his youth had fled from his Rebbe Reb Moshe of Kutschnitz, saying, "What I need is a Rebbe who will tear at my insides, and not one who will kiss me," was now shown to be a doubly blessed. On the one hand, his words were filled with compassion, as he sought to defend his people Israel, while on the other hand, he would tear the insides using a sharp scalpel to let men see where they had to improve themselves, exposing the dark plots of the foreign god within you, the Yetzer Hara, the evil desire which rests in the heart of every man. He not only demanded much from his Hasidim, but also aroused within each one the desire to make great demands upon himself. he would dissect each man's soul down to the finest and most obscure parts and peel away the layers, the klipos which enclosed it. Then he was able to draw the soul close to Hashem and have it cleave to him in truth. In addition for his concern for his own large following of Hasidim, he was deeply involved in general communal life, doing a great deal to help his brother Jews during the Polish revolt of 1863, and he was active in all attempts to have various decrees of Tsar Nicholas I against the Jews annulled. The Chadush Rim wanted to make the study of Torah their primary concern of his Hasidus, but since without flour there is no Torah, he prayed to Hashem to grant the Jews the wherewithal to be able to serve Hashem and study His Torah without having to worry about their material needs. And indeed, the 7 years that he was Rebbe, from 1859 to 1866, were known by the Hasidim as the 7 years of plenty, because during that time they were at ease both materially and spiritually. The Hasidim fulfilled the demands of their great Rebbe and devoted their energy to the study of Torah. The example of the Chadush Yerim, who amazed the Torah world with his brilliance, sparked a tremendous desire in his followers to study the Torah. In Ger, the Torah scholars who knew Shas and Poskim were the elite. It was they and not the rich who occupied the most prominent positions, though quite a number of Ger Hasidim were wealthy. The Chadush Yerim would say, "Why is one who learns known as a Ben Torah, literally a son of Torah? Because he is drawn to the Torah as a son to his mother." He cannot survive without his mother, he cannot live without Torah. The letters of the Chadush Yerim and various Hasidic matters clearly show that diligence in the study of Torah was the major demand he made of his family and his Hasidim. This demand was like a golden thread woven through all of his letters. Be sure to continue to learn and have a true will to do the desire of Hashem, as he told us in his Torah. Except for this, all is vanity, he wrote in one of these letters. It is far better that a man develop good tendencies through the learning of Torah than if he does so through prayer. Prayer in its heat may produce that which is not lasting, in contrast to the study of Torah, where the person analyzes what is good. Even if one doesn't sense what this Torah study is doing to him, he should rejoice, because at the very least he will be saved from coarseness. And in a letter to one of his grandsons he wrote, "Be sure to be diligent in your learning, and that your thoughts always be in Torah. Recite the blessing of the Torah each morning with a heart full of happiness that Hashem gave us the privilege of having the precious Torah which the angels desired." The Chadush Yerim's small apartment in Warsaw was too small to hold the masses who came to his door from all four corners of Poland. The wealthy among the Hasidim therefore decided to establish a large Beis Medrash in residence for the Chadush Yerim and his family. By his choice, this was built on the plot that stood on 57 Zelno Iron Street in the outlying area of the city. Iron Street became a magnet. Hundreds of Hasidim were drawn to it daily. A new generation which thirsted for Torah grew up there and was nurtured with proper care. Even those Gedolim who had differed with Kutsk looked at Ger favorably and came to visit. All revered the Chadush Yerim, but in his own eyes he was a most lowly individual. His Torah thoughts gushed forth in an unending stream. His tshuvas, response on various halachic questions, reached every place in the land. But the Chadush Yerim explained to himself that the Chadushim were a gift of Hashem, worthy only of someone as lowly as he. Thus he wrote, "With the help of Hashem, he was granted a gift to a lowly one such as I, to understand a little of his holy Torah in his great kindness and pity for me. This is not because of my righteousness or uprightness, for I know my lowliness, my slight worth, and my sins. But this treasure is a gift freely given to one who knows how little he is worth. As it is explained in the Gemara and the Medrash, Hashem told Moshe, 'I give to the one who does not have.' once while at the Tish with his Hasidim, he said in a trembling voice, because Israel did not wish to heed the words of the prophets, they were punished in that their descendants are forced to listen to the words of a lowly person such as I. The Russian government decreed that Jewish children must study in non-Jewish schools in order to learn Russian. The Jews of Warsaw were terrified at this decree, and the Chiddush Yerim entered into the battle with all of his might, using every method he knew to have the decree annulled. Sir Moses Montefiore was in Warsaw at the time, so the Chiddush Yerim and his friend Rabbi Yitzchok of Vorky met with the English philanthropist to persuade him to utilize his political influence to have the decree annulled. When Montefiore saw them dressed in silk kapadas with shlaimos on their heads, he asked in astonishment, "Are you tzaddikim?" Chiddush Yerim pointed to his friend and said, "He is a tzaddik, as I am barely a chassid." From his earliest days, the Chiddush Yerim had tried to meet the gedolim of the generation. After his name became known, many gedolim came to visit him in his home in Warsaw. Some came to evaluate the Hasidus of Ger, at the head of which stood one of the great Torah scholars of the generation. Others came to ask his advice on various questions or discuss Torah with him. Yet others came into contact with him in their common ventures for the good of the Jewish people, to avert evil decrees, to defend themselves against the maskilim, and to keep traditional Jewish education pure and uncontaminated by foreign influences. Among those who visited the Chiddush Yerim were Rabbi Isaac Charif, the Rav of Slonim, Rav Yisrael Salanter, father of the Muslim movement, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik of Brisk, author of the Beis Halevi and father of the illustrious Rav Chaim, and Rav Shol Katzenbogen Epstein of Moscow, grandfather of the Chazon Ish. In the Miasev Torah Journal of 5665, Rabbi Chil Mechel Tukachinsky notes that when Shmuel Salant, Av Beis Din of Yishlaim, was on a mission abroad in the year 5608-1848, he visited the Chiddush Yerim in Warsaw. The Chiddush Yerim held a large reception in his honor, in which some of the generation's greatest Torah scholars took part. During this reception, Rabbi Shmuel Salant received a letter from the rabbis of Yishlaim regarding the case of a convert who had already been circumcised and had not yet been immersed in the mikveh. One of the rabbis had ordered him to perform some type of work on Shabbos so that he should not be in the category of a non-Jew who keeps Shabbos, and then he would be liable for the death penalty. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Rav Shmuel Salant asked the Chiddush Yerim what he felt the ruling should be, and the Chiddush Yerim answered that without a doubt the man was not permitted to desecrate the Shabbos, because he had been circumcised in order to become a convert, even if he had not yet been immersed in the mikveh. The Chiddush Yerim was an unparalleled spiritual hero. All of his 13 children died in his lifetime, with calamities falling one upon another. He had accepted the verdict of heaven with unbelievable love, and he did not waver an iota from his path. Once, when one of his children was lying ill, almost at death's door, his weeping wife Fagel pleaded with him, "Your help utters with tremendous devotion. Why don't you ask Hashem to have mercy on our children, that they should not be snatched away in their youth?" The Chiddush Yerim answered him, "What do you think? If this is what they want in heaven, should I stand and beg Hashem to change his will for me?" Once he said, "In order to comfort her, we must accept this with love. Others will be able to console themselves when a calamity falls and say, see, Rabbi Yitzchok Meir had 13 children, all died during his lifetime, and yet he had no complaints. Why then should we complain?" One can only hear faint echoes of the grief and mourning between the lines of a fatherly letter that he once sent to his daughter before she gave birth. "With the help of Hashem, Thursday 21st of Sivan, to my modest daughter Leah Hadassah, greetings and blessings and all the best. I would like you to know that we are thanking Hashem well. Do not worry, for Hashem will certainly help you to give birth at the appropriate time to a live, healthy child. If you want your mother to come to you, God willing, she will arrive in the coming week. You should rejoice at the marriage of the grandson of your brother of blessed memory. This is just the joy of his child is a comfort to him. May Hashem preserve us all from distress, and may you be privileged to marry off your children and your grandchildren and lead them under the chuppah with nachas, and see children and grandchildren learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs. Have faith in Hashem, and he will certainly help. From your father, wishes to hear good news from you, Yitzchok Meir. His brilliant oldest son, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai, father of the Sfas Emes, was the last of his children to pass away. He died on the Shabbos. Throughout that entire Shabbos, the room was quiet and calm as if nothing had happened. Immediately after the close of Shabbos, he broke into bitter weeping without interruption. Nor did he cease for an instant throughout the funeral in the presence of all the Gedolim of Warsaw. After the burial, an old Kutka Chassid approached him and said, "I find it surprising this happened before." "I'm not crying about the death of my son," replied Chiddush Urim, "but for the mitzvah teaching one's children that I've been deprived of. That is what is so bitter for me." The Chassid did not desist, but Rebbe said, "You have your grandson label." He was referring to the future Sfas Emes. The Chiddush Urim immediately stopped crying, and his grief was somewhat diminished. The Beis Medrash became full of youths and young men. The Chiddush Urim feared that they would be influenced by Warsaw and all its city bustle, and he thought of moving his court to a small and quiet town. At that time, the community of Gir came to him and asked him to become its Rav, for his deceased father had held that position. He immediately accepted the offer, and within a short time moved to Gir. In the course of time, the town of Gir became the center of Hasidus in Poland, to which tens of thousands of Hasidim streamed in the 80 years until the Holocaust. Before he left Warsaw, he underwent a number of difficult trials and tribulations. The government had passed decrees abolishing traditional Jewish dress and education. This campaign was aided by the Maskilim, who had forsaken their religion. The Kadushi Harim led the forces of tradition and exposed the true colors of the Maskilim without mercy. When he arose against the decree requiring everyone to be clean-shaven, he was imprisoned by the authorities, and after his release was exiled to Novodvor. On the way there he said, "We have survived in exile thanks to open and hidden miracles. It is a miracle that the rulers are conceited, the police are fools, and the non-Jews at large are lazy. The rulers are wicked, they seek to harass us, and they have the power to do so, but they are conceited, and it is beneath their dignity to do so themselves. The police are willing to and can harass the Jews, but they are foolish, and the simple non-Jew wishes to beat the Jews, but he's lazy." When he arrived in Gir, the small town underwent a tremendous change. The roads which led to Gir, which had almost been empty, began to hum with life eventually. A railroad line was laid between Gir and Warsaw, a distance of about 20 miles. Multitudes visited the town during the week, and even more for Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Rebbe made only one demand on his Hasidim: to learn Torah in purity. Once before Shacharis on Shabbos, the Chiddush Urim entered his Beis Medrash and found a large number of people engrossed in learning. It was absolutely quiet, and he addressed them as if asking their advice. "Should the prayer have begun earlier in order to better fulfill the requirement to rejoice in Shabbos?" No one answered because of their respect for him. But Chiddush Urim himself continued and commented, "When people study before davening, they are fulfilling 'you shall circumcise,' that is, remove the impurity from your uncircumcised hearts. A pasuk is found in the Chumash Devarim. And circumcision takes precedence over Shabbos." From time to time he would travel to Warsaw in order to concern himself with the needs of the community there, as he had promised to do before leaving the city. His vision encompassed everything, and he was concerned about the spiritual condition of the Jews across the ocean. By that time, the immigration of Jews to the United States had begun, and the Chiddush Urim stood up in his Beis Medrash and said, "If they would listen to me and send 80 of the best of the young Hasidim with those moving to America, they would then save those Jews." When he heard that the reformers had published a journal named Hamagid in Frierson, he said, "If the Haredim would listen to me, they would immediately put out another journal that would suppress it. Of himself he said, I was created in order to turn the entire world towards the kingdom of heaven, but alas, the matter has come to ruin. He was accustomed to saying, before Mashiach comes, the Jews will yet walk about the courtyards and cry, I will go back to my first husband, to the first fire, the fire of Mount Sinai, which burns to the very heart of the heavens. The Chidushi Arim held his court in Ger for a very short while. His last days approached, and he gave very clear hints about his imminent death. On Rosh Hashanah in the year 1865, he told his grandson, Rav Pinchas Menachem Yosman, Chazal tell us that the leader fits a generation, and therefore one of two things is possible. Either the generation rises up to the leader, or the leader descends to the generation, and if he's unable to descend to it, he must leave the world. There's no other alternative. In the middle of the winter, while the Rim was in Warsaw, his leg was injured by a blow from a door. His suffering seemed incredible, yet he refused to listen to the advice of doctors and continued to conduct his tish and to serve Hashem with superhuman effort. As he put it, a Jew is alive only through Torah and prayer and through no other thing. On the last Shabbos of his life, the third Shabbos of Adar 5626, 1866, Parshas Porah, the Chidushi Arim expounded the Torah from his bed. He explained the statement by Chazal that the Parsha Porah is next to that with the death of Tzaddikim to teach us that just as the Porah atones, the death of Tzaddikim also atones. His family members and friends surrounded his bed. During the early afternoon, he taught his grandson Shlomo Alter a passage from the Masechet Kedushin so that he could fulfill for the last time the mitzvah of teaching one's children, and he explained the passage they were studying in great depth. When the time for Shal Shudus arrived, the Chidushi Arim felt that his time was near, and he turned to his grandson, Rabbi Yehuda Leib, author of Sfas Emes, and said, Label Kaddish. Those who were near heard him say, Yoshe B'Seser, as a chapter to Tehillim, word by word, and when he reached the words, I will deliver him and honor him, his voice faded and he fell silent. And thus the Shabbos ended, the Chidushi Arim's soul departed in purity. With this we have concluded our segment on the Chidushi Arim. There's also a section called Jewish History that you might want to listen to and download, and there's another section called The Study of the Holocaust that you might also be interested in listening to or downloading on our line at EnglishTorahTapes.com. Again, all these shiurim are for free to the public.